Hello everyone, Simpatico from iHearthU here. Just to let you guys know that we had a little bit of a problem with the recording of this week's Turn 2, and I sincerely apologize. We had a XSplit crash, and our backup was not enabled this time, which is really unfortunate because it was a great episode. So very, very sorry that we lost the first little bit of the show, but we do have the last, about half, three quarters of the show. So, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and, yeah, this shouldn't ever happen again. So, without further ado, enjoy this week's episode of Turn 2. Have a good one.
Sorry guys for technical difficulties. We're back.
So schedule just as part of the nature and brutality. Like, you're gonna be like on Twitter, if you're following a lot of the players, you're gonna be hearing a lot of whining and moaning about schedules and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to wake up and stuff. As part of it, the adjustment period, everyone has to deal with it. So just be prepared for the saltiness on social media when some things don't go the players' ways. It's just natural. Don't blame the tournament organizer. They can't make everybody happy.
Well, I can give one advice to people playing on Saturday, because the bring your own computer guys will play a lot more rounds than the top 16 guys. So what you really need there is stamina. I know it's like hard to get stamina if this is the first experience for you, but mostly you'll be playing the whole day, and if you're winning, you have you will have adrenaline mostly, but if you're winning and playing so many games, there is like mental stress. You'll get tired. You can make misplays. So at the end of the day, it's really tiring to go through this experience. So my advice is, on Friday night, go to sleep. Just go to sleep, rest, so that Saturday morning you'll be able to play like 11 hours of games nonstop.
That's one way to do it. But then you don't have the good stories, what happens on Friday nights. So
you will
be part
of it.
You'll be listening to it.
And I also think
with whoever dares hangs out with me. I will be at DreamHack, and that's where actually a cool announcement will be coming when I arrive to DreamHack. I've been telling people about it. And it's really cool. So I'll be doing stuff like that, because I can't actually give out too many more details.
Oh man, you're announcing the announcement. Nice.
Well, yeah. So I've been working on a Hearthstone project recently, and I'm actually really excited to be working with them. So you guys will see more on DreamHack, but I'll be hanging out with people on Friday. If you're at DreamHack, come say hi to me, and we're going to have a good time.
Dice, what are your plans for Friday night?
Yeah, I hope that I can find my hotel, man. I'm flying Friday really late. I will fly to Gothenburg, and I will arrive at 6 p.m. So I'm just going to find my hotel, I think.
Maybe. Oh, okay. That's fine.
All right. Well, I'm going to go get dinner and some stuff. You're welcome to join. Anyone else is welcome to join, too.
I'll probably be there as well.
Cool.
Okay, let's move on. The next topic is On Gamers launching a new talk show called Well Met.
Wait. I thought we agreed that before we ended this segment, we should give like why everyone should be watching DreamHack, like in a quick summary.
Did we? We can.
Yeah. Yeah. So like Nimsh, give me the reasons. Give me like a very quick summary of why people should watch DreamHack this weekend, in your opinion.
Okay, so my first thought that comes to my mind is like DreamHack Bucharest had a lot of good players, but when compared to DreamHack Summer, which is this weekend, we have best players in the world, and there's so many good players at the tournament that the games will be super high level. So that's definitely a certain reason that you should watch it.
Cool. Taish.
DreamHack is the first really, really, really big tournament that with really good rules and also with a really good prize pool. So I think that it's a really good reason to watch, and I'm really excited for it.
Frodan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I have to answer too. You guys absolutely should be logging on to Viacom.com or Viagame.com to watch the DreamHack tournament, because it is the biggest tournament in Hearthstone yet, and there's gonna be storylines and inside jokes you're gonna be missing out on if you don't watch it. So be there. It's gonna be casted by wonderful commentators. It's gonna be a lot of fun games played by the highest concentration of talent in Hearthstone yet. So make sure to be there or be square.
And if you are playing, dress well, because there will be fashion. There is also a fashion contest for Hearthstone players.
I actually didn't really tell people. Wait, no, there is not. She's just talking about the blog. I'm actually signed up to compete in the BYOC too. I forgot about this, but I'm on the waiting list, so I don't know if I'm allowed to play until I find out on the day. But I did sign up to play in the tournament.
So in before Frodo makes top 16.
Yeah. Maybe you'll see me in Group C, and we're gonna have a turn two group of death.
Oh yeah, we welcome you.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys won't even know what hit you.
And what also is really funny, we need to play on the iPads. It's
also
really
we covered
new
that
for the
already
monsters.
We already covered that last week, Taj, with how ridiculous that might look and see.
Oh yeah, I remember, yeah.
Okay. Done with DreamHack? Satisfied? Frodan? Are you satisfied?
Yes, I am satisfied. I'm fine.
Okay. Dice, you want to add anything else?
No.
Okay. So, quickly, on Gamers, well met. There is a new show. It's a talk show. The guys are asking questions. They're inviting different... They will be inviting different players. I'm in the first episode. The talk show is about the player, mostly. So, right here at Turn 2, we are discussing metagame, discussing news. More or less the same thing. It's going on Chanman's show, Value Town. Well met will be about the players. So, if you... want to learn more about a certain player, maybe you can contact On Gamers. Who should they pick? But mostly I think it's an interesting show. Like I would like to know more about certain players, learn about their background, their past, their achievements, or their failures in life. Also, sometimes it's interesting if it's not too sad. So, pretty interesting show. What do you guys think? Did you actually see the show? Do you know about it? Probably not.
I have read it, and I haven't. It was really long, so I haven't watched the full episode. I watched 30 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked it. It was really about the player, and yeah, a really good show in general, in my opinion.
But they shouldn't make it shorter. 19 minutes.
Yeah,
is
it was
lot.
Really long. That was the reason why I didn't watch the whole episode.
Yeah, I actually did an interview with them this morning, and it'll come out on Friday. We talk about everything from, like, what happened with ESGN, not from a super in-depth perspective. I think people are hoping to hear answers. But we do touch on that topic a good amount. And I talk about some other stuff as well. So it's a cool series. It's not only players, apparently, because they asked me to do it.
And oh, come on, you're a player.
It'll
Frodo.
Come out on Friday.
Frodo, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a sense, like, I have access to play the game, yes.
Legend every season. DreamHack. Bring your own seat.
Yeah. Top streamer.
Top 16, almost. DreamHack.
You guys are too much.
You're just that good, man. Like, you know.
I've actually never lost a Nibsh before, so
yeah,
this is
100%
a record I'm
very
proud
win rate.
Of. That's right.
Thijs, well, you lost one game, Thijs.
Yeah, I lost one game. Yeah, you're true.
Okay, guys, let's move on. So the next topic we have is we actually lost Frodan.
Yeah.
No, I'm here.
Oh, Frodan's here. Okay, nice. So this is more a question to Thijs. Zotac and ESL qualifier for BlizzCon. We discussed this already, but we didn't discuss the tournaments because, well, Zotac was this kind of a small tournament for 200 people, small. But now people actually it's hard to sign up for the tournament because there is a limited number of seats, 500 plus. And when you forget to check in for the tournament, you're just out. Mm-hmm. So if you're late, if you slack, you can't play Zotac. And also there's this ESL tournament on Sunday, having like 700 people signing up for that as well. So Thijs, what do you think about those tournaments? Like, you've played them before. Have you played them now, like after they qualify? What's the change?
I haven't played the last 2 weeks. It were really busy weeks for me. That was the main reason. But I really liked the fact that Blizzard gave a qualified spot to the community tournaments. It is the best way for people to get known. If they can get a qualified spot for BlizzCon, they can probably qualify them for BlizzCon. So it's the best way for all the people that are looking for a way to get known in this game to play the tournaments. And when you need to qualify, I think it's way harder to play the tournament. When I played the Zotac, it was always with around 200-300 people. It was already hard and a lot of good players. But yeah, with now 500 people fighting for the spot, it is really hard now. But I hope they will make the tournament a bit bigger, because Zotac last week, it was in 10 or 50 minutes, it was already full. So I hope that they will go to 1,000 players or something, that everyone can get a chance and not only the guys that can claim their spot really quick.
Frodan, have you tried them?
Yep. Have I tried them? No. Maybe I'll just try to get top 16 on ladder instead.
Oh yeah, easily.
Or maybe I'll just win DreamHack.
Oh man,
yeah, who
top
knows?
Top three is fine. You don't have to take the spot.
No, I'm gonna go above and beyond. Get more seeding points.
Okay.
On a serious note, though, I actually, and this is kind of a separate topic, but I really do believe this is actually a completely different topic. But I do believe that commentators of the game should be good at Hearthstone. Or at least, like, no, I'm not going to take that back. They should be good at Hearthstone. I don't really care too much for people's commentary who don't understand at least an intermediate level and above. I'm not asking people to be top 16 legendary season. I'm asking them to be good. And good is not like, oh, man, I'm like only legend 500. I'm not good. Like, there's a lot of people who kind of consider that. I'm considering that you're like a lot better than most of the people at the game, because I feel like it's a game you can't really get away with commentary wise. So I do try to play a lot and improve my own personal skill, and while trying to do cool stuff, build my own decks and whatnot. And that's partially why I really enjoy, you know, Artosis and Admirable's commentary, because they're both really good at the game. When Artosis is trying to be good at Hearthstone, but sometimes he's focused on StarCraft, so he's kind of like battling in between. So I might sign up for some of these cups. I might not. It depends on how things pan out in my upcoming schedule. But my primary goal is just to be better at Hearthstone. And that's why maybe a more realistic goal is just try to aim for the top things of Legend, as opposed to like go through these gauntlets where there's like 500 people gunning for one spot. It's kind of intense.
I would definitely recommend trying tournaments, because it's a very different experience anyway. I think it will help you understand the emotion level and like commitment to the tournament. And it's also like a question I can ask to Thijs. Like, Thijs, what would be your advice to the players who want to be first, like with regards to the decks? What should they anticipate? Like, because it's really hard to get the first deck, the starter deck, and the counters. Like, what would be your best advice to them? Should they, well, just go ahead. Like, I won't suggest an answer.
Yeah. Well, in clips like Zotac, from my opinion, in the first, I think first two rounds, you can only expect aggro. If you don't know the player, there are so many Zoo players. Last season, a lot of Hunter players. So in the first two rounds, I was playing decks that were okay against aggro, just decks that are that can win every matchup. And yeah, after the first two rounds, people playing a bit more the meta decks, and yeah, it's always hard to say what your opponent is playing if you don't know them, because you can't know. But yeah, I had a lot of success in the tournament with my own druid that won me like two or three tournaments. I always started with my own druid version. It's a bit outdated now. It was in the Hunter meta really good. But yeah, that brought me a lot of success, actually.
And yeah, and you see, like, this is very interesting because there is a strategy. It's not like just getting the three best decks and winning the King of the Hill style. Well, you have this entry level of the tournament, like a couple first rounds when you have to deal with those and try to stay alive. Then you enter another stage where you have to maybe switch decks again because you have the meta games. And then you have the late game stage of the tournament where you again have to adjust. And also information is king again, because if you face, like, if you face me, you can quickly check what decks I'm playing, or you already did that, so you know what I play. Like, if you face Blackout or whoever that we know, we mostly know that those people's preference. Like, if I would face Reels, for example, I would presume that he will be playing Miracle Rogue or maybe Druid because he was playing those decks before. So there is a lot coming into winning those tournaments. And that's why that's how we deal with RNG in those tournaments. Because a lot of people say, like, hey, so many people, the RNG is so high, like, there is no way I will just win this tournament. And then there are people like Thijs who just go into the tournament, they refuse to be knocked out for the, like, six rounds. And then in the end, like, they either win it or face an even opponent. And, well, there the cards just go one way or the other. But consistently, just you go for the first five, six rounds of every tournament.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that people call it RNG. Yeah, of course you have sometimes the rounds, or sometimes you have just a really bad hand or a match that you can't win. But yeah, that's the reason why it is best of three and not a best of one. If it was best of one, yeah, I will totally agree that just a lucky player can win it. But with best of three, you can play a lot more strategy. You try to win the first game. If you win the first game, you can counter really good, and if he is able to win the second game. So yeah, in the tournaments like this, to win the first round is really important, because SOTAC changed the rule 3 weeks ago, but before 3 weeks ago, they couldn't make switches in the deck. Now you can sideboard a bit, but before that, it wasn't possible. So it was you called really good counter. You called really counter your opponent really good, and now it's a bit harder with BlizzCon spots, and they changed the rules. But I really like the tournament play way more than the ladder. It's a bit more strategy. The ladder feels a bit random for me sometimes. Then I play two games against Sue, and then I think, let's play a deck that is good against Sue. And then I meet two handlocks, and yeah. It's just a bit frustrating sometimes.
Sometimes
you should come play on NA where it's only Miracle Rogues.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Very easy to counter if you're me. Well, counter from, like, you know what deck you're playing, but not get countered because it's Miracle Rogue. So.
Okay, Frodan, do you have anything to add with regards to Zotac and ESL? You should play them, really.
I think, I did play in some cups actually early in the beta, and I won a couple, but that's a lot. That was a lot different times when, God, I played Rogue, and everyone played Rogue, and I coined out my Defias for 2-3-2-1. I think yeah. these tournaments are really important, and Blizzard has done it right this time. I kind of said this in my WellMet interview, but I'm okay with saying this now too, that I think Blizzard is doing Hearthstone completely right now. They're not over-investing. All they said is, look, we're going to have a really cool party at the end of the year, and people can qualify for it, and we're going to make other things matter, so that way you don't feel like you're just twiddling your thumbs until one big tournament. Zotac, the ESL stuff, other big events, that being relevant is so cool, to the fact that everybody gets equal chance. And the best part is that if you don't qualify from ladder, if you don't qualify from online events or offline events, the catch-all is the last qualified tournaments. So there is absolutely zero excuse for anybody who deserves to have a BlizzCon seed to not have one. People who always kind of sideline or side, sidearm quarterback, where they just kind of like stay at their computers and say, oh my God, this thing is an RNG fest. I could definitely be playing this and be better than everyone else. You have zero excuses not to at least be in the BlizzCon qualifier. Now, winning, that's a different topic, but I think Blizzard's doing it really well in terms of opening it up with and making something matter without putting all their eggs in one basket and growing in an organic way. This is really cool, and I really hope that they continue to develop this idea while still pushing out Naxxramas. I'm sorry, but every time I think about it, it's like, can that expansion come already?
Everybody's asking me, like, do you have any insider info? Can you spoil it? Yeah. This summer, Naxxramas will hit the shelves.
More and more, whenever I hear some player complain about RNG and stuff like that, I file them in the scrub category in my mind, and I kind of put it away for filing later. Because okay, it's starting to get to the point where like people are really proving that as much as RNG does suck and you kind of get gimped out of stuff from time to time, the better players win over time or the long
run. Yeah, that's entirely true. That's entirely true.
Okay.
And talking about the better player wins, there was a tournament in Paris. It was called Gamers Origin Cup. And I believe it was hosted by Hearthstone FR Strategy YouTube site. The guys are doing great job on the French market for Hearthstone. And this tournament, well, actually, we have a bracket here. The tournament was won by Savitz. Apparently, Thijs was invited, but refused because he was too busy. Mm-hmm. That's right, Thijs?
Yeah, I called, but I was too busy this weekend. I had not too busy, but I needed to work a lot, and I had a good festival, so that was the reason why I was not going. And yeah, it was to Paris, so.
So to
and
put
with, also with DreamHack and coming, I was like, yeah. Let's skip this one for one time. I really want to go to the next one.
Yeah, because it was last... it was this weekend, right? Or last weekend.
Yeah, it was this weekend.
Yeah, 200 people, 201. And that one person was Savitz. And he won. I'm not sure how many rounds they played, but it was a lot of rounds, I'm sure. And a lot of different decks, a lot of players. So Savitz took it down. And we actually got decks from the organizers, but we can't publish Savitz's decks, also because of DreamHack, and he asked for us to be, you know, not spoil his decks. But we have the decks of the second place, who was Dante, and those decks are kind of interesting. Have you guys had a look at the decks?
Yeah, I have.
I will look at them now.
Okay, let's actually look at Shaman first.
It seems like a really standard shaman, not a lot of things, but he really likes the late game stuff like the Sylvanas, also the Ysera is really new for me in the shaman deck. But for the other cards are really similar for me.
There's one Argent Squire, is it fine? I mean...
Yeah, I see a lot of people playing with just one because it's a good card if you have it early in your hand, but if you draw it really late, it's just a dead card most of the time. So I understand the one Argent Squire.
And what do you think about Ysera instead of Valakir?
I don't like it. I shall play it with Valakir, but okay. Yeah, he is second place, so yeah, for him it worked.
It worked. Frodon.
Well, if he gets the card he wants every time from Ysera, maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, I do, and I still don't play it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting choice. I don't know. I didn't see the games.
I think it was in stream, actually. It's a pity that it was. I don't think it was. Or if it was, it was streamed in French anyway. I think they are working on some VODs and might post them later this week, maybe. So It would be interesting. I would really love to see this deck playing versus Savitz's decks.
Well, spoiler alert, they lost, so.
Yeah,
I was
they
looking
did.
For get that out of here. I was looking for the stream, but I couldn't find any stream or something from it.
So, Shaman deck.
There's a very high possibility. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
There's a very real possibility that Ysera is like one of the only legendaries he has. Well, not only.
Yeah, there is.
Like, it might like a legendary that he has that he can't. He doesn't have Alakir, so maybe he just replaces it with another powerful late game creature that he has, like Ysera. But then I look at some of his other decks, and he also has Ragnaros, and I think Rag would fit better in Shaman than Ysera, but I don't know.
Well, he had four legendary cards in this deck, so maybe let's look at his. No, I was talking about Shaman, but we can move to Mage, to the Mage deck. Because the Mage deck is a bit different than the standard decks, I guess.
Okay.
Are we looking at Mage? We're looking at Mage.
Yeah, this is. Control Mage, right?
What is this? What is this Mage? One Urgent Squire.
Yeah. It takes like elements of like Trump's Mage, you know, where you just play pretty straight up control with polymorphs and just play mid range and
Trump's Arena Mage, or
like... then it's got like Ice Lance as like a finisher, I guess.
One Ice Block, so
yeah,
one Ice Block.
Why not
Gadgetzan? Well,
one
there's
Arcan Squire. I don't know why he has the Arcan Squire in this deck. It doesn't have any buff or something.
And Ysera again, like Ysera is a pretty strong card.
Well, Ysera makes more sense in this deck. I kind of agree with Tyres, like the Argent Squire seems a little outplaced. Maybe he just wants a third one drop, I guess.
Double Polymorph is also pretty harsh. I mean, sometimes Polymorph just sits in your hand and you really feel like you shouldn't use it. Especially if there is like a 3-3 on board for 3 mana. You feel like, oh, if I Polymorph it, it's kind of like a lost Polymorph.
I mean, Polymorph's still one of the best removals in the game, though. Like, so it's not a bad card. It's just, again, most Mage decks felt like they could get on without it because they could just remove it with like spells or minions in that respect.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting, like that he's using kind of like an old concept of Mage, and then combining it with like Gadgetzan and Ice Lances and.
I like Pyromancer here.
Like an Ice Block. Okay. Yeah, it's got cool small synergies here and there. It's just, it does seem a little sporadic with some of its ideas that it's not very focused, but maybe that's what makes it work too, because it's kind of unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah. we talked about surprise effect, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thais, anything to add about this Mage deck?
No, maybe it's Raynet's Mage deck. that can be the reason why he's playing it. No, I don't know, man. It's really strange deck. I'm missing some cards like the second of the Antonias above. He's playing with Gadgetzan, but
yeah,
he doesn't have a lot of cheap spells. So and not a lot of spells. He has 2 Frostbolt, 2 Iceland. So I don't see the reason, but yeah, it worked for him. So it looks like a deck that can win every matchup. So it's not a really bad deck.
Seems like a very flexible deck with a lot of card draw. And we know from Miracle Rogue that even if the whole deck looks like a weird structure, if you have enough card draw, if you draw like almost the whole deck, it might work because you have so many options in different situations.
Card advantage is too much. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move to the last deck, which was Paladin.
Oh, this is cool.
Blessing of Wisdom.
It's a really cool card. I've toyed around with Blessing of Wisdom so much, but in the end, I ended up removing it. It never does what you want it to do, and when it does, like you can get more than one draw off of it. It's just like, I mean, if you kind of see it as just like a one mana card cycle, then maybe. But Paladin has much bigger holes it needs to fill rather than just a one card cycle. So I just never felt like keeping it in a deck. But if it makes it work, then, I mean, he's got also interesting cards like Abomination.
Yeah.
And, well, Ysera, of course.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I like Blessing here probably because there's not enough draw. I mean, Hammer of Wrath and Harrison Jones are the drawing effects. So probably Blessing is important. If if he can abuse Blessing, then yeah. There is no Acolyte. And Acolyte works pretty good with White Pyromancer. But,
it's really interesting with all the big guys and then two fairy dragons. The Wild Pyromancers are really good in Paladin with the equality. But maybe it's a deck that I think the deck counters Handlock really good with
Shaman as well.
Yeah.
So counters Handlock, counters Shaman, anti-aggro.
Yeah, it's tricky with Paladin versus anti-aggro because you're so dependent on a few cards, like your Pyro qualities or your Consecration. So, like, there's some games where, like, you just destroy Zhu, but then there's some games where Zhu Defenders of Argus and you're just outside the range to kill it and there's nothing you can do about it. So, it kind of depends on... It does have a lot of... It does have good healing, though, so, like, it can definitely bounce back from some burn decks and whatnot as well.
It's kind of seems like a hybrid between, like, I mean, it can go aggro mode as well. Like, if you start with Fury Dragon, follow it up with Peacekeeper or, like, Sword of Justice, and then just start spawning minions, you'll be able to go on the aggressive side, and then you have those big minions as a follow-up, so...
It's kind of cool that a deck like this got really far, because it just shows that I think that he knows how to play this deck better than any of us can immediately upon first few minutes of looking at it. And he knows what he's mulliganing for, and he's operating it, and he knows its deck's strengths and weaknesses. And the fact that it goes far and it's kind of unique is another testament to why people should be experimenting more and creating decks that fit their style as opposed to copying your guys' decks, for example, when they see you guys play in Group C of DreamHack. Because there's some cards that you just think, like, how does Abomination work with his hero power? Like, doesn't that actually work? Like, that's kind of those kinds of questions pop up. But maybe it makes sense for him. Like, I just, maybe it makes sense for a tournament play for France. You know, he was beating a bunch of French people.
It's a good counter deck to something like the Abomination can be really good against Shaman for all the totems. Or yeah, I don't know.
Abomination Blessing of Wisdom combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. A Blessing of Wisdom is best used on Divine Shields, though, from my experience.
Or like opposing minions.
Yeah, but then opposing minions is it's a conditional draw and you can't rely on it. It's good in the beginning of the game because it makes them hesitate. But late game, people don't care if you like Blessing of Wisdom. They're Fire Elemental because they're doing 6 damage to the face anyways. And it's like, awesome.
Yeah. Whatever, like you can draw a card, whatever.
Yeah, they don't care at that stage. It's like I go so back and forth on Blessing of Wisdom. I don't know how much you've tested it out, Taj, but like I want to like it so much, but I've actually spent a lot of the season trying to play Paladin and make a Blessing of Wisdom deck work and stuff. I just couldn't.
No, the aggro Paladin is really strong now with all the miracles on the ladder and all the handlocks from a week ago. I saw a lot of aggro Paladin and it really worked. I tried a bit of aggro Paladin and it really worked well against the Miracle and Handlock because, yeah, you really rely on your Divine Favor. But, it works really well because they only tapping or with the Miracle Rogue, they take a lot of cards and, yeah, the Paladin just spams all the 1 and 2 mana minions and then you play a Divine Favor at turn 4 or 5 and take 5 cards back or something. It can be really good now on the ladder.
Yeah, I was saying Blessing of Wisdom, the card. Mm. Not the class
power. I don't think Blessing of Wisdom has... you need to play it with a minion with Divine Shield, then it can be really strong in my opinion.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
That's what he said, exactly.
Yes, all right. Validation.
Nice. Well, I agree with you guys, so... Maybe you want some Wind Fury, but it's hard to find a good Wind Fury minion.
You're not going to use it on any neutral minion for Paladin, like what, Thralmor Farseer or Windfury Harpy?
Yeah, yeah.
Young Dragonheart.
Leper gnomes.
Oh my god, Leper Gnome with Blessing of Wisdom, so good.
Drug card, deal damage. If there was a reason to earth shock you before.
Oh, damn. Okay. So that was the tournament. Savitz won it. We'll probably ask him a couple of questions about it in the future. But moving forward, Gentlemen's Cup League is in motion. Let's go to the site to actually the Team Liquid Wikipedia and let's have a look at the results. I think they're not updated because today there were some games.
Yeah, Innovation won against Isuba, and we were able to win against Team Mia. And
Innovation won against Isuba now.
Yeah, Innovation won against Isuba in the ace match.
Nice, that's an upset actually.
And we won against Team Mia. So Meet Your Makers and Team Mia are 4-2 now. And yeah, the rest is 3-3.
Okay, so so looking at the list, like Team MIA was on the first place, and then MYM is second, or like even MYM might be first, right? Because
yeah, we won 3-1, so I think we are first now.
You might be first, yeah. So Frodan, look at that! Like we're talking about MYM trying to get their spot, and here they are having first place after the standings will be updated. So. Team is doing
even head to head. MYM beat Doggy House. Taj beat Strife Crow not once, but he beat Strife Crow and then he beat Ekka. Yeah, I was gonna say I thought you beat him twice. But.
It was Strife Crow during the normal rounds and then Ekka in the ace
match. Yeah, in the ace match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first series in the game. The first match in the league we played against you and Dog House.
I really, really miss Curse and Templestorm from this list. Like, I hope that when we finish this league, like, we'll have another league, and then like Curse and Templestorm will be able to play as well.
Yeah, it's probably because it is a European tournament. But what I see now, it are all European teams, so maybe that's the reason for it. I don't know.
Yeah, that might be.
I know Team Root had also an invite in the qualifier, but they didn't qualify for it.
Okay. So yeah, it's a pretty cool tournament. There's a lot of games being played, and we have what, 7 more weeks of games, right?
It was really?
Dang.
It's 14 weeks. So
yeah, 8 now.
Yeah, 8 more weeks. 8 more weeks. So. Go Doggy House. We still have a chance.
Well, without Strife Crow, you're kind of boned, IMO.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Do you even have enough players to field?
We'll have to freelance another player, probably. Because Strife Crow is, for those who don't know, like Strife Crow is in China right now for 2 weeks.
So, if anybody's watching and they want to freelance for Doggy House for the Gentleman Cup, who should they contact, Nimsh?
Yeah, all contact Nimsh.
They can contact me, I guess, on Twitter. But I'm looking at one player right now, and I'm not talking about you two guys. Unless, Thais, you can betray your team for a couple of cards.
No.
Thais joining Doggy House.
Oh, you sound like every girl I asked to prom.
Well, me?
No, Thais. The way he laughed and said no.
Oh.
Okay. Well, like any comments about this tournament? I guess like the league is fine. It's going on, moving forward, and that's it about the league. Guys, do you want to say anything else like about your team? Like, how are you performing? Are you happy with your lineups? Are you actually changing lineups?
Are changing lineups every week. Everyone get a chance in the league to get the name out, and yeah, it's it's a bit, we are not always, so I'm going to DreamHack, so I'm skipping this week, and every week it's hard for someone to play. And yeah, we don't have problems with it, so I really like the fact we are with a big team, so we can make good choices what we want to set up against our opponents.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, we have two freelance players, and you can just leisurely like swap people. That's pretty good. Froden, closing words about Team League.
I think Team Leagues are really cool. There's a new one coming out called Hearth Wars that people should go check out. Just because it sounds cool in concept, where like players bet their own money essentially with a buy-in. It's not. I mean, I guess that's like a very poor way to phrase that, but like it's essentially like players putting up their own money to win more money. And
how does
I'm interested
it work?
To see how it's gonna pan out. So basically it's gonna be like a league where the teams everyone's gonna be playing, but you choose two representatives from your team to go, and there's like a $10 buy-in, and then based on how many people buy in, then they just keep playing, and then whoever comes out on top is the winner, basically. It's just like a regular tournament, but it kind of represents teams as opposed to just individuals that they invite. I think that they're always looking for more teams to join. I think like Root wanted to join, which according to just recent reports, by the way, this is breaking news. If anybody wondering whether or not this show is live or pre-recorded, I don't know why we get that criticism. It's that Amaz has joined Root. Or sorry, he left Root to join Team Liquid.
Wow. Wait. So like this is two pieces of news. Like first, he left, then there is a Team Liquid now.
Yeah. I mean, why does that surprise anybody though? Like Liquid's been looking to they've been looking to pick up somebody for a while, right? Based off like Liquid Hearth and, you know, the coverage of it. They have teamliquid.com for StarCraft, they have Liquid Dota for Dota, so like, why wouldn't they pick up Hearthstone?
It's big news actually, because like a lot of players were waiting for Team Liquid to start a Hearthstone team, and now you are saying that they, in fact, did start a team.
Yeah.
So what? What do you know? What do you know? Like, throw the news. Like, give us all the information you have.
Okay, so Amaz, Team Liquid to sign Amaz. I'm clicking through it right now. Let me read the report. This is reported by Richard Lewis, who's always on top of his stuff, I guess. Team Liquid will pick up the first Hearthstone player in their illustrious history tomorrow when they reveal that they would add Jason Amaz Chan, a.k.a. Frodan, a.k.a. Chanman, a.k.a. Trump, a.k.a. Hafu, a.k.a. Raynad, to their roster. The player who only joined Root Gaming in March this year will be subject to an undisclosed transfer fee to take him to his new home. Team Liquid has focused significantly on the development of Hearthstone. Yada, yada, yada. Chan, a Hong Kong resident, has been grabbing attention as a streamer, having hit legend status only using free-to-play priest deck that shows his true mastery of his class. His popularity has soared, seeing him 91,000 Twitch followers and 63,000 YouTube subscribers. He's also shown his capability on the competitive scene as his recent semi-final finish at DreamHack Bucharest. It'll be announced tomorrow, where you'll see Chan represent Liquid at the $25,000 tournament in DreamHack Summer coming this weekend. He probably will have a shirt this time compared to DreamHack Bucharest.
Yeah.
He's been placed in a group with the winner, DreamHack Bucharest, Pita Gara Stevanovic.
You know that you know what's sad? It's like the sad part is he wasn't able to use his shirt for DreamHack Bucharest from Root, and now he won't be able to use the shirt again because he changed the team.
Yeah.
Sorry, Root.
No.
Root still has good players though. Like Sho's great.
6-0.
When Eggie's not being an egghead, Eggie, and they have a good roster of talent. It's just sad that Amaz left without Root ever truly like representing in a team league. Like, and as much as Amaz was part of Root, I really never felt like Root got a chance to be who they are in Hearthstone. In StarCraft, for people who don't know, Root is kind of like a band of brothers where they kind of get together, host podcasts, talk all the time to each other, and they're just kind of like a family. And as much as Root was starting to do that with some of their streams and Skype calls and stuff, it never really like picked up a lot, in my opinion. And it's just kind of a shame because Root's a really big family, and Katz is a great guy.
So what about Team Liquid? Amaz is the first person. They probably look for three more, right?
Possibly. I mean, it depends on whether or not they want to enter. If Team Leagues become a thing, but I imagine so.
I think unless, so, too.
Unless you're hinting Nimsh at something, because Doggy House has gone without a sponsor for a long time. And this is my weekly update on asking what's going on with Doggy House.
How many people do we have? Like, or how many are we freelancing? Because I lost count.
I don't know.
Wait, three people are left. Team Liquid is looking for three people. Maybe, you never know.
It makes sense. Actually, I kind of want to ask you, how much have you got? And this is like a real talk moment. Artosis hasn't
won a series in a long time.
Artosis hasn't won a series in a long time for Gentleman Cup. I actually forgot to bring this up in the previous topic. How much is he practicing with you guys now? And like, how hard has he like been training? Or is it just kind of been like him logging on and saying, hey guys, what deck should I play? And you're like, oh, this is really good. So he tries playing it and he doesn't have much practice. Because that's the kind of impression I get when I watch him play sometimes. Like when Artosis like tries and like practice, like his preparation for OGN, for example, made total sense when he blogged about it. It was very intelligent. But like, you know, he's not performing well in team leagues and stuff, so. What's going on, Nimsh?
Yeah, I mean, a funny fact is that when every week we have a new group against another team, we name this group Artosis, please respond, because the player who's facing Artosis always has a problem to contact him, more or less. Dan, as we mentioned before, Dan is extremely busy with work, with StarCraft, also like spending time with his family. So he's not putting that much effort into Hearthstone, unfortunately, which bears some effects, as you've seen, because we know that the man can really like devote himself to the game. We've seen it before GN, we've seen it before
BlizzCon. Artosis is still great. It's just like, I was just curious, like, what was going on? Specifically, because it seems like you, like the rest of you guys, because we're talking about freelancing for the league and stuff. So
yeah,
I was just curious. That's all. I don't want to like harp on it too much.
No. I mean, he's still a great player, but he needs to like practice more for sure. Like definitely for the league. And this is also an interesting thing about Hearthstone.
Basically, as soon as possible. He needs to clone himself basically as soon as possible.
Yeah. He needs to like spend one Artosis for StarCraft, one Artosis for Hearthstone. That would be the best outcome.
All right, sorry to detract.
No problem. That's fine.
So I don't know who Liquid would pick up, but Amaz fits Liquid's identity really, really well, because Liquid's all about like being mannered clean, and well connected. Yeah. Clean, very presentable. I like to say family friendly. Another person that kind of just fits that perfectly would be Trump. And I for the longest time, I thought Trump was on Liquid Value. I thought Liquid would sign somebody. I assume Trump would be the first person that Liquid picked up. It almost made too much sense that, like, I thought it was just inevitability. But I guess it's not happening. I think Trump is flying solo for the time being, because I think he got offered by a lot of teams, but he hasn't accepted anything. So I don't know who Liquid's going to pick up next, but if I had to pick a person, I would say Trump, but I don't think that actually will happen. I don't know. I guess I would say that. I think he fits pretty well there.
Yeah, maybe they are taking some time to look at some new talent, or looking for players that don't have a team yet. I think they probably take some time and looking at DreamHack. Maybe there will be some people from the qualifier that will get really high, and people and teams will probably contact them, and we will see.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there is no point in rushing the team building. So you really if you invest into those people, you build a group. You really want to have the people with who are, well, they are good and great players on one hand, but on the other hand, there is like the team chemistry. Because if you really get conflicting characters, your team will fall apart sooner or later. So you really want to have that. You're building a team as a long-term relationship with the players. So it's better to take their time and really find the players that fit the profile.
Cool.
I agree.
Okay. Well, that's actually mostly it, guys. Like, do you want to discuss anything else for today?
Not really. I think we can. I mean, we talked a little bit about the meta. We talked about tournament stuff. Pretty much just previewing DreamHack was my biggest priority because I want people to be really hyped for the event.
Yeah, I'm everyone is flying today or tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, so I'm really excited.
Okay, so we are excited for DreamHack. We'll be there. We'll be meeting in person, and we'll be meeting the fans as well. So for now, I guess we can close the show and move to shoutouts. So Froden, you first. Shoutouts.
Shoutouts to Well Met, because my interview will be posted on Friday, so make sure to check that out. I talk about all kinds of things from my past, my present, my future, and even about what happened at ESN just a little bit, so go check that out. It's being done by On Gamers. Shout out to Chanman, who had me today for Deck Wars. I hope he has a safe trip and that he's able to, you know, kick ass at DreamHack. Shout out to the new guys I'm working with on my cool project, which you guys will hear more about in a couple of days. And thanks, Nimsh, again, for hosting, and thank you, Tyish, for being on the show.
Tyish, your shout outs.
Yeah, I will. I will thank Team Meet Your Makers for all the changes I got and for everything, and that they can send me to DreamHack. I want to shout out my family that they. That they really accept that I'm still playing the game, and shout out of course to the Turn 2 show and to I Heart You for my I'm still playing in the King of the Hill, so I hope you guys can watch it. I think it will be streamed Friday. Yeah, that are my shout outs.
Okay. And on my side, like, shout outs to Team Dogger House as always. Shout out to Applejacked for being awesome on a show. Like, Froden casted it, like, before this show, Deck Wars on Machinima channel. There will be a VOD, Applejacked versus Trump. It was a cool show, really, like a cool showing. So shout out to the man for giving a good show there. And yeah, like, shout out to Zach, who's our producer here and who's making this show being awesome. Like, he's putting the overlays and doing the all the stuff. So shout out to Zach. And obviously shout out to the King of the Hill as well. And shout out to iHarvestside. We recently had a very good Miracle Rogue article. It's called Miracle Rogue, How Magic is Made. So definitely recommend that one. Check it out. Check out the site. Check out the forums. And that's mostly it for this week. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, give it all my shout outs. Oh, well, I guess thanks to my family as well. I don't want to seem like I'm thankless to my own family and stuff.
Great. No. So, Dice, any last words?
No, not really.
Tune in to DreamHack, guys, at viagame.com. Yeah. Make sure to tell your friends, tell your families, get your dog a laptop and have him watch it as well. Anything, just continue to promote it. And maybe we can do something cool from the event as well to have some fun stuff to show you guys.
Actually, I have the biggest shout-out, which I totally forgot. So there is something else. Like, I talked to a lot of pro players, like top 16 seeded guys, and a lot of them answered that there are no Murlocs at the event. Like, nobody literally is going to play Murlocs. And there is one concerned Murloc, and he will be at the event. So, guys, meet Murky. He's here. He will be at DreamHack, talking to Reynat, talking to all the other guys. So, okay. check out my Instagram. During the event, I'll be doing a lot of photos. Murky will be doing discussion panel, probably. Talking to Seltzer, please, as well. So, a lot of fun pictures, a lot of fun stuff, and that's mostly it. So, thank you for watching the show. See you next Wednesday, and see you at DreamHack.
Later.
Later.